Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hi, guys. It's America, and we're back with another episode of In the Open. Teresa isn't with us this week, but I have two special guests who've been with us before. But in case you haven't listened to their sessions with us, say hello, Emily and Whitney.
Hi, everyone. I'm Emily. I work at MHA with America and Whitney as our programs manager of public education and awareness.
Hey, guys. I'm Whitney, and I also work at MHA on our outreach team doing all sorts of things. Lots of different hats.
Yeah. So aside from them being our colleagues, they have their own experience with anxiety, depression, and they've talked about it in other sessions in the past. But today we are going to be talking about a quarter life crisis. I want to kind of dig into what that actually means, because I think for a lot of people that may be a term that is unfamiliar. Like when I heard it, I was like, what does that mean? And then I thought about it. I was like, oh, I get it. But let's talk about it a little bit, and then we're going to like dig deep and figure out if you guys are actually experiencing a quarter life crisis, because I'm way past the quarter life. So, Emily, what is your idea of what a quarter life crisis is?
I think for me, it's like, so I'm 25 years old, out of college, like working my first, you know, quote unquote, real job. And just kind of being like, what am I doing with my life? And like, I don't necessarily mean that in a terrible way. Like things are okay. Things are going well. But like, what do I want my life to look like? I feel like I'm kind of on the path where it's like, oh, like get it together, like figure out what you're doing and make plans for what you want the rest of your life to look like. But then I also feel really young and I'm like, I don't know what I want to be doing in 20 years or 5 years or like next week. So I think it, for me, it feels just kind of that like overwhelming, like hurry up and go, but also like take a minute and figure out what you want.
Okay. What about you, Whitney? Does it sound similar to your experience and or definition of that?
Yeah. So I'm 26. So technically I'm past the quarter, but definitely not past the crisis part. I would say for me, a quarter life crisis, very similar to feelings of just like confusion, who am I, anxiety around what the future holds. For me, it definitely hit maybe a little early. Maybe I had early onset quarter life crisis. But like right when I finished college or like started working in my first job, like kind of this like, where is my life going? Is this what I want? And a lot of like self-doubt around that.
Okay. What's funny in what you guys are describing, it's not the funny part of like what you're describing, but it sounds a little bit like adolescence. You know, like how when you're a teen, because I felt this way, that I was like, who am I? Like, what am I supposed to be figuring out? Like, or when you're about to like embark on the, you have to choose a major or something when you're going to go to college. It's like, I don't know anything. What do you mean I'm supposed to choose something? And it sounds similar. Are there differences though? Now, is there some sort of connection, maybe a more finite connection to direction of your life? Because that's what it kind of sounds like.
Yeah, I think that's what makes sense for me, is it's more, it's less like who I am. I feel like I have a good idea of who I am, but it's more, what do I want? Okay. Because I feel like, you know, we grow up and we're just kind of told what's expected of us, especially women. You're told that you are going to find a husband and have kids and raise a family. Like that's very much ingrained in our culture. So for me, I think like I can pinpoint the beginning of this quarter life crisis was realizing that I'm bisexual and interested in women. And that was like not necessarily something I struggled with, but once I realized that, I was like, oh, wait, like I've always pictured myself dating men, marrying a man, having a husband. And all of a sudden, my life didn't look like that anymore, which then kind of spurred even more questions about like, do I even want a partner right now? Like, do I see myself married at all? Do I see myself with kids at all? And like, you know, all that went down in like a month of like thinking I had my life figured out. I knew what things were going to look like for me, even if they like weren't set in stone yet. to being like, oh gosh, I have no idea.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
In what you've described. And for it to happen like within a couple of weeks, right?
That you're in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
By the way, you know, what about you? What do you think? Can you pinpoint the moment when you experience like, oh my God, what's going on with my life?
I feel like for me, a lot of it is tied. It's always been tied to purpose and kind of this pressure to have a larger, greater purpose in life. So for me, I feel like my quarter life crisis comes in spurts. Like I'm in my 20s, right? So I'm like just trying to figure things out. So some months, weeks, year, it's been good. And then other times it's like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Am I happy? Do I want to be doing this? Is there something bigger I should be doing? Am I just not striving hard enough for that? And I think a lot of that is tied to this like outside pressure that you read any of the self-help books or like the motivational stuff on the internet and it's like, you have to work hard to get what you want. And I'm like, maybe I'm not working hard enough. Like, and maybe I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So mine has usually been tied to work. Not necessarily relationships, but Emily and I, we're also good friends and we have very different like relationship history. So it makes sense that like that would show up differently. But mine's been tied to work and especially around times when I'm bored at work. Like if I get into periods where I'm like, I'm just not feeling super motivated, like that's when some of my midlife, we're not there yet, quarter life crisis can set in. I feel like that's when I start thinking, like questioning my job, questioning the city I live in. Like, is this why I don't feel happy or fulfilled?
So I am officially 41. Woo! So past that quarter life. And I'm trying to think back to when I got out of college. I was already working, but some of the thoughts that I think went through my mind back then were similar to yours. Like, you know, what am I supposed to do now that I'm an official adult? Like you've come down this path of completing college, you know, if that's the attainment that you're aiming for. And then it's like, now go out into the world. And some of what you're mentioning, Whitney, is tied to like productivity. What am I showing that is able to demonstrate to the rest of the world and to myself that I'm progressing in some way? And Emily, you're kind of like, well, I thought I had it figured out. Nothing's really the way that I thought I was going to, which comes back to this idea of like how it is that we come to form these ideas about what things are supposed to look like. Let's talk about that a little bit because you both are white. I'm Hispanic, Latina, Latinx. But, you know, some of the things that you touch on, Emily, was like, there's this idea that you're supposed to get married and have children. And that's just kind of ingrained in the Latinx culture, right? That's just supposed to happen. And there are pressures from the outside world for you to fill into these boxes that have kind of been set. And it sounds like some of that struggle is what's happening with both of you. Am I wrong or am I like not interpreting things right?
No, I think that's, right on base for me.
Yeah, I think living up to the expectation that the world has for you is what I tend to struggle with. Or like, how are people going to define success for me? And am I achieving that success? So I hadn't even thought about it for my relationship, but like, am I getting married? Am I in a like settled down relationship? Like I'm past the midpoint, like I'm almost to my 30s. Like what does life look like? So yeah, I think it's like fitting into those boxes that we put ourselves in and then society kind of puts us in as well.
Yeah. But you know, if you think back to our parents, my parents were like your guys' age when they had me and my brother, you know, and I'm like, dude, that's crazy. Like I can't even fathom the idea of having kids at 20 something and trying to like manage and be adults. But now the reality is there are definitive labels for all of this. But I think because we need it to help refine our thought process and know that whatever we're experiencing is normal, right? If we were not in the pandemic, I know, Emily, you've gone home right? Mm-hmm. Back to Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. You've just been in DC where you live, but you've also gone back home. But I know some of the things that I've read about, like quarter life crises and stuff, is this idea, like you go out into the world and then whatever X thing happens, you're like, I got to go back home. Like it didn't work out, mm-hmm. whatever. Right.
Right.
Did you feel that at all?
I did not. I was more like, get me out of here. Like I need to see more. And like, even still, like I am somewhat planning to move to Costa Rica at some point. And I think I truly want to do that. But then I'm also like, am I just running away from all of my problems? Mm. So yeah, no, I didn't necessarily feel the pull back home, but also like, since a lot of what I'm thinking about and kind of like reframing for myself is relationship based and like future based. My mom got married when she was 23. My dad was 25, had me when she was 25, had my brother at 27, happily married, super in love. And so like, that was my example of love growing up, was like, you figure it out early, done. And then my younger brother has been in a number of serious relationships. And so I think especially because he's younger, it's like, seriously, like, what am I doing wrong? And when I take a step back and look at it, it's like, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just super, super picky. I'm very protective of my energy. I'm very protective of my time. And I don't let a lot of people into my world. So it's not necessarily like I'm messing anything up. I'm very aware that it's a product of what I want for myself. Mm-hmm. But going home was definitely not something that was going to heal the, oh my God, I'm 25 and not married yet thing.
Yeah.
I had a friend who, I think the pandemic kind of made things a little crazy, and she just was miserable living by herself. And so she moved back home because she was feeling lost and confused and lonely and all the sorts of mental health concerns that we talk a lot about on here. And then she kind of had like the reverse. So she went back home and then she was like, I'm supposed to be an adult. Like, what am I doing at 25, 26, living with my parents, like having my mom make me dinner every day? So I think there's like this, like this like tug and pull. It's like, oh, I can't make it work in the real world. I'm going to move back home. And then there's this pressure of like, I moved back home. I got this, I'm getting support or whatever that looks like. I'm failing as an adult and I need to get back on my own. So I think that I would assume that a lot of people in their kind of quarter life area might be feeling some of those pulls for help. Like, I need help. I'm not at my best. I'm suffering or I'm struggling. I should go back home. But wait, everyone else is making it work, not at home. So I'm failing.
That's just tough.
Yeah. And it's something in general that we deal with. All three of us have mental health concerns, and I'm sure y'all have dealt with this because I've talked with you about like seeking out help and support and still feeling that stigma of failing. And I think it's similar in the quarter life crisis. So many crises for us to have throughout our years. Yeah. So I think that that plays a role in it too.
You know, I was married at 23. It just came back up. Yeah, I was married at 23, divorced by 27. And I think back to that time and I was like, God, why did you do that? You were so young. But, you know, the heart and all, but that's a whole different conversation. This tug and pull that you're mentioning, right? Like the parameters that are set by others, the things that we set out to do on our own, and then we question, because I think we spend a lot of time comparing ourselves to other people, right? And that can be so disastrous to our mental health because it may look like people have it all together. They're making everything work, but the reality is so different. It's like that Instagram thing before Instagram really was around. It just looks great. You have it all put together. You have the perfect job. And I remember having a conversation with my parents probably around after I got divorced, and I was like, what am I supposed to do with myself? Everything that I thought was going to work was ruined. You know, and there, my dad, who's like super optimistic, he was like, nothing's ruined. You just learn from it and you keep going. And I was like, what? How am I supposed to do that? You know, I don't know if that is useful for folks when you struggle and you're in the moment of just feeling completely without direction, you know, because I don't think you guys, and I don't remember feeling useless. I just feel like lost, completely aimlessly, like looking in the forest is like, what?
Yeah, it's very just like kind of going through the motions.
For me, too, I think one of the things that contributed to that feeling of loss, because yes, 100%, and I would like, honestly, guys, I like consumed blog after blog when I was like really in that crisis point trying to be like, what's the answer? What am I supposed to be doing? I need a roadmap. And I think one of the, looking back and like reflecting on that period, I had just gotten out of the education system where every year was like laid out for me. And there was a goal at the end of each year, it was to get to the next year. And even like overall to get a high GPA and do and have a lot of extracurriculars. So then I got out of that set like structure. And that's when like my crisis set in, because I'm like, what is my purpose now? And I think like that's something we have to think about, is like the systemic piece that we're a part of that's kind of putting this pressure on us. And then we're just like, here you go, you're out in the world on your own. And I think it can lead to a little bit of, I mean, for me, it was like straight up crisis.
Yeah. Do you think that that is tied at all to like your more anxious times in life? If you're diagnosed with like depression or anxiety and the internal negative thoughts that are consistently kind of there and you have to like battle, you know, like swords and all, like, ah, can you link that up to the moments in like where you were having a crisis and you totally felt like aimless?
Yeah, 100%. I think for me, they really corresponded to like my high periods of anxiety and like this feeling of hopelessness or like, I don't know my purpose. And actually, like my theme this week for myself was to work on negative self-talk, because I think that is really what kicks in and drives that crisis piece, because no one on the outside has ever told me I'm failing. Like no one has like stopped me and been like, you suck at being 25. Like I am the one telling myself that. And so it's like trying to catch those patterns of the voices in my head being like, you're not trying hard enough. You nap today? Oh, screw you. Like, you can't, like, succeed at an adult. Oh, you don't have a savings account with 3 months' salary? Like, how are you even functioning? You know, it's those, like, voices in my head. It's totally not an external thing, but I kind of project it to be. Like, I take the different, like, I compare myself to other people, and then I use that as, like, leverage for my negative internal voice.
Yeah, I think it becomes a vicious cycle too, because, and it's so hard to break out of, because you start to feel aimless and then that induces more anxiety. And then because you're more anxious, you're just way more on edge and way more, you know, questioning everything you're doing, everything you are. And it's, yeah, they feed off of each other.
So the emotional aspect to all of this, you know, for someone that is kind of in this place of asking the question, am I going through a quarter life crisis? It sounds like the things that we're saying are, one, there is some sort of feeling of feeling lost, right? You kind of don't have direction. You're maybe comparing yourself to others and trying to figure out where you fit in within the structures that have been set. What happens though when you're trying to break out of that? Like, for you, you know, your idea of what your sexual identity was prior to a couple months ago had really formed your thought process of what life was going to look like. And is it vastly different now that you have identified as bisexual?
Yes. And I don't think it's like inherently because I thought I was going to be with a man and now I think I'm going to be with a woman. Like, I think I'm bisexual, like that's still up in the air, but it did kind of just spur all these other questions about like, how did I go 24 years of my life not realizing that I was interested in women? And then once like, I was like, okay, somehow I did. And like, it's clicked, like, here we are. It was like, what else have I gone 24 years without realizing? Like, what else do I just take as fact that I've been told about myself that I haven't really put thought into and have just kind of accepted. And that's what kind of spurred, like, I never really assumed I'd move around all that much. I kind of just pictured myself definitely on the East Coast, probably back in New England with a family. And now I'm like, that's not what I want. Like, I don't think that's what would make me happy. That's not what I would feel fulfilled doing. So like, that's part of it, is figuring that out, that like, in the life that I thought I was going to live, or the life that I've been told or suggested I was going to live, isn't the one that I want to. But then there's that whole other hurdle of like, okay, so right. What do I actually right. want to do? And that's like, I am very much still in the middle of that. So I got no answers on that one.
I find that so, like, I find it comforting, because I feel like I went through that when I was divorced, where I just had to kind of reimagine what I thought life was going to look like. But you're right. Like, one, you know how like the dominoes, they fall right one after mm-hmm. the other. It's like, now that one thing has pushed you to question this one aspect, right? Because it's just one factor of who you are as an individual. You really start looking at other factors and asking really tough questions, because they're not easy. Like, and who's going to give you the answer, right? Like, nobody can tell you like, oh, well, now you're supposed to do this. And like, no, I have no freaking right. clue.
Yeah. And it's like, it's super uncomfortable, but at the same time, I'm really glad that it's happening right now. And I feel like, as much as I feel behind in a lot of ways, I also feel kind of ahead of the curve in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a very introspective person, always have been, but I feel like this is something that a lot of people go through, like you were saying, America, after divorce, or what kind of leads to divorce, when all of a sudden mm-hmm. people are in their 40s and are like, wait, like, what am I doing? So I don't know. I feel really glad that something kind of triggered this all right now, where like, I am single, I am financially independent. Like, I get to just figure this out on my own. I don't have to worry about it impacting anyone else.
I think that that's such an interesting perspective, Emily, because a quarter life crisis doesn't necessarily have to be like, we can reframe it into a positive thing. Like, we can look at it and be like, here's my mind telling me to pause and take time to actually consider what I want. Like, here I am feeling this like pressure, and I feel lost and I'm confused, but actually seeing it as like a pause, time out, give yourself the chance to imagine what you want life to look like. Like, that's a pretty cool thing. Like, when you were saying that, I was like, oh my gosh, Emily, you have so many opportunities in front of you. I'm like, you could travel the world. I mean, COVID, but you know, like, there is that. And I think that there's some positive way to spin that, when if you start to feel those like feelings of dread, or I don't know where I'm going, it's like, okay, well then, you know, sit down and start like throwing out some options and see what like sticks and what sounds good. And I get that it's hard when it comes to things like relationships. You're like, okay, well, I haven't found the person. So like, if that's what I want, how do I move forward with that? But I think there are other areas of your life that you do have control over. So if anyone's like feeling that, I think, Emily, you've made such a good point that like, we don't do that enough. We don't do that introspective work in our society to actually like pause and say like, what do I want? So it could be a cue for an individual to actually start doing some of that work.
Yeah. Through like talking to friends about it, I've had so many friends who are a few years older be like, holy crap, like, I wish I had thought of this, or like are married and are like, I really love my husband, but maybe I would have dated women if I wasn't married to him. Like, whoops, did that a little too early. And yeah, it is, we don't think about what we want. And I think part of it is what you were saying earlier, Whitney, with school, and that is so laid out to us. And I think that's why so many people hit, you know, 18, graduate high school, or hit 22, graduate college, and are like, oh, like, I've had, you know, September to May, September to June every year, like, I knew exactly what I was doing. And all of a sudden, it's like, wait, hold up, like, what am I doing? And people kind of quickly just fall into what they think they're now supposed to do, without being like, wait, there's so many different things you can do in this world. Not to be cliche, but like, we do only live once. And like, what do I want to do with this one life that I have? Which is a very overwhelming question.
Yeah.
But it is one of like so much potential, which is cool.
Yeah, it makes me want to just like go hide under my blanket and be like, yeah, someone tell me. Like, I can't tell you the number of times I've told my mother, like, Mom, just tell me what I'm supposed to do and what I'll like doing and I'll go do it. And she's like, that's not how it works. Like, even my therapist was like, Whitney, like, what do you want your life to look like? I'm like, girl, don't ask me that. Like, I don't know. And I think that's where some of that like anxiety and pressure comes in, because it's hard to think about like what life looks like. But I think you bring up a good point of talking about it with other people. One of the things that took me so long and like think why I dealt with my anxiety around this whole issue for so long was because I just kept it to myself, because I did think everyone had it together. And shame loves to make you think you're alone, like loves to make you think you're the only one struggling. And so I was just like, oh my God. And I specifically, and I've wrote about this a little bit, like remember a brunch, how cliche millennial of me, where I was with all my girlfriends from college. We were post-college trying to do our first jobs. And finally, like I just broke down and I was like, guys, I feel so lost. I feel like I'm failing. And every single one of them was like, oh yeah, me too. I have anxiety attacks all the time. I don't know where I'm going. And that was honestly like a relief in itself. It was like, okay, reminder. Everyone else is a mess.
You know what comes to mind though, and like hearing you kind of talk about your experiences is, so I used to work in Maryland years ago, and I remember there was a young woman who, I think she was South Asian. I mean, she was South Asian. I don't know from what country, but she came and shared that she was going to be married. Like her family had decided that, you know, it was time for her to marry and she was going to have an arranged marriage. And of course I knew what that was, you know, but the idea was so jarring to me that somebody would make that decision. And then I remember having a conversation with her and just, well, can you say no? And she's like, no. It's so foreign. The concept is so foreign to us, right? And I think it also lends itself to this conversation where there are situations, family and culturally, that we may be forced to down a certain pathway because that's what's been decided, and we don't have the autonomy to say, I don't want that. But when you're in that space, you then encounter, in my experience, this person was very upset that she just didn't have any other choice and there was nothing she could do about it. And my only, you know, guidance and advice to her was like, you have to do what you can to maintain your happiness. So it also speaks to like this very American way of thinking, like you gotta take life by the horns and just rule, you know. And a lot of us, we're forced with that idea, like it's presented to us in school and everything. But the actual work of doing that, I think, counters the experience that we have. So then that's even more of a struggle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm processing all of that. But I think you're right. Like there is this concept of you can write your own destiny. And yeah, and there's some pressure in that. And that's not always true. There's roadblocks. And then you feel like you're failing because you're not writing your own destiny. And there's people in the world who like don't push that language. So yeah, it's definitely a fascinating concept. And the negative and positives that come from that idea that you can kind of make life how you want it to be.
You know, a lot of people, when they finish college and you have X degree and you can't really get a job in your field and you're like working at Target, at PetSmart, you know, in retail, and you're just like, I went to school and I got this whole big degree for this.
Right.
When I finished college, I was working as a youth case manager back then. So I was working with adolescents. And then that job, like the facility like closed down or something. And then I was like, I need money. I need to find money. And I was still applying for jobs. And the only place I found a job was at Babies R Us. And I was like, hey, I'm going to make the best of it. I'm going to work at Babies R Us. I only worked there 2 weeks because another job came through. But I remember thinking like, I was at a loss, you know, like all that money, all that studying for this. But then reality sets in, right? You're like, you need money. You can't complain. If there's a job, you work.
Yeah. I think that's another pull too, is like financial security is obviously hugely important, but then also meaning and feeling like your work is meaningful and you're getting that kind of fulfillment. But then that hits against the very American idea of quote unquote success, meaning financial success, meaning you're working 80 hours a week, meaning you're, you know, quote unquote, highly productive. And then, like, what does that even mean? What does that even look like? Is that something any of us really want or benefit from?
Yeah, I would say right now, no, nobody benefits from that.
Yeah.
So let me ask you both a question. You are 25, 26. You envision that life will get better. Better, I don't know, whatever better defined is by each one of you, right? But what are you hoping that will happen between now and your 30s? Because then 30s is a whole nother thing for people. It's like, oh, my life's supposed to be all together. Because I went through that.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea. I think I'm at the point where it's like, you know, I have all these questions, but it's still so I don't have answers. And I don't think it's necessarily something that I can just like sit down and figure out. Like my instinct at first, when I first started thinking about all this, was like, I'm going to get all the self-help books. Like I'm going to get these guided journals. And like, yeah, I guess it was kind of helpful to some extent to have like other things to think about. But I think a lot of it also is really just like time and just kind of, I don't know. I feel like so many people just like fumble through their 20s and no one talks about it because we're a very independent culture and we don't talk to each other about what we're going through. I guess I've just kind of been leaning into like, I don't know what my life is going to look like. And that's okay for right now. Like, I don't necessarily need a concrete plan. I've tried a million times to create a 5-year plan and I always give up and I'm like, I hate this. I don't want to know what exactly my life is going to look like in 5 years.
Are there people that you know that have a 5-year plan? Because I have no idea what's going to happen in 5 years.
I know people that have 20-year plans. And oh my, I think, God, that is the most terrifying thing in the world. Like, that takes so much fun out of life if you just, like, live every day on a path towards this, like, exact set up life for yourself. I don't know. I couldn't do it.
My heart rate, like, I just checked my watch. And, like, just from the idea of, like, 5-year plan, like that made my heart rate spike.
Yeah, man, time and patience, right? Like, I think that's what you're speaking of. But I think the harder piece is the patience piece,
for sure,
and the ability to be able to just sit in this space and be like, I don't have to have it figured out, even though everybody is asking for definitions, right? Finite ideas of what's going to happen. What would you recommend for somebody who's kind of questioning different aspects of their lives? What's comforting to you during this process?
I think the biggest thing is talking to people your age or who you think might be going through similar experiences. And I think the hard part with that is like when you're feeling like I need to talk to someone, you don't necessarily want to initiate it. But I think everyone feels like that. And so many times just being the first one to take that first step and be vulnerable first and be like Whitney did at that brunch, and just, you know, opening up to someone being like, hey, everything sucks right now. Most times you'll be greeted with someone who's like, yeah, I get it. Like, I'm going through this, or like, I'm going through the same thing, or like, I don't relate to that. That must suck, but here's what I'm going through. And that, I think, is the best way to feel like just less alone. Which is a big part of it, I think, because it's, you know, you can have no idea what you're doing, but if you have other people beside you who also don't know what they're doing, it's a lot easier.
Yeah, you have a whole crew. We're just locked together. Yeah, dude, it makes a big difference. What about you, Whit?
Yeah, so I think in terms, so obviously by my heart rate spiking, y'all know I don't have a 5-year plan. Now I've reframed. I used to look at, what are you going to do next in your job? How are you going to grow in your career? I felt this immense pressure to always be looking at how I can progress. And so I've tried to kind of change that and focus my energy when I start to feel lost or I think, where do I want my mental state to be like in the upcoming years? How do I want to like wake up and feel each morning? And my journey recently has been less about like, what's my purpose in my career? What's my purpose with my family? Where are we going to live? What are we going to, you know, what's our house? It's more like doing that internal work that Emily talked about and just taking time to learn about myself and how my past has impacted me. And so like when I see myself at 30, like it's just continued understanding of who I am and why I act the way I act. Cause I think that I have like power in, and a lot of the other stuff you like literally don't, because you don't know if your job is going to be there. You don't know if your boss is a jerk and isn't going to give you that promotion you were like thought you had done X, Y, and Z for. So, and then my piece of advice, shout out to my mom who listens to every podcast that I'm on. So this is from her. she is almost, she's like 55-ish. I won't give her exact age. And she like did a major career change in the middle of her life. Like she had set out to be an educator, like done the teacher track, moved up to principal, like next came superintendent, and she just like totally pivoted. And I think it was so helpful for me to see as a 20-something that happen and understand that like all of this work that I'm so stressed about, like being the next big thing, I could be doing a totally different career in 10 years. So like, I think it's important to look to people who have gone through this and understand that like, they're still figuring it out at like 55 years old, and that you're not really like putting that pressure on yourself really doesn't like move you very far. I remember my mom finally telling me like I was a year into my first job and I was like crying to her. And I was like, I have to get a promotion. And she's like, you do realize you have 1 year of work experience under your belt. Like stop stressing, like just take the time to learn and like soak up what's around you. So I think that is my advice to people if they start to feel like, I don't have a purpose. I don't know. Like, I don't love my job. I'm supposed to love my job, or I'm supposed to start a company like every other millennial, or like be famous on TikTok. Maybe that's my goal. But I think that it's important to remember, like, you're just starting out and it's like just beginning. So like put that into perspective a little bit when you start to panic. You are just dipping your toe in the water.
One of my favorite things, like not an exact quote, but ideas is, because I think we do box ourselves in and it's like, oh my God, I'm 25. I went to college for this thing. Like I can't change my life right now. And it's like, okay, so in 10 years, I'm still going to be 35. Would I rather be doing something that I don't like just because I decided when I was, what, 18 years old that was going to be my future? Or would I rather up and make the change and be doing that new thing in 10 years?
Man, you guys, you make me think a little bit about my life.
It's okay. We can have this turn into a therapy session if you want.
Well, you know, like I think I'm 40, so I've always known that I wanted to like work in some sort of helping profession forever. Okay. Like it's just a natural kind of thing that I fell into. I think you're right in two very distinct ways. One is being able to have and look at people that are older than you and see that they are able and completely moving through the process of change all the time, you know, not just sitting and being stagnant. While also thinking about and questioning what really makes me happy. Sometimes you don't have the luxury of just being like, I'm just going to choose to do X thing because it's going to make me happy. That may not be right now, but it could be that in the future, there's an opportunity to think about what can I do to get me to this place, right, where I can really have that freedom to just choose whatever I want. And that requires some thought, but I don't want people to think that we're just like, you have to have a plan, you have to have it all figured out, and not at all. I still have, Teresa and I talk about all the time about like, are we actually adults? Because who says that we're adults just because we're older than like 20? Like, you're just figuring it out. And even, you know, I speak to like my parents, you know, I've had conversations with them where I'm just like, how did you guys know you were happy? And they're like, what do you mean? happy in what? Happy because of like life, happy because of our family. They're like, work is work. That doesn't define you. And I was like, huh, wow, what a different concept, right? And I think those types of labels are the things that we get stuck in. And it's very hard to push ourselves outside of those. But really having somebody to just talk to, like Emily, you were saying, you know, and just chatting about whatever your experiences are. Because you're right. Coming together with people, whether in a direction or, you know, walking aimlessly together, it's still together. And that fact of feeling less lonely, I think, is so critical to just help you move to the next step of figuring out, all right, let's see what this can, you know, this can do.
Also, I just have to plug, like, I got so sucked in into this like entrepreneurial mindset, and like there is this like newer pressure, I feel like, and I don't know if Emily, you've felt this, of like, travel the world, make it on your own, don't work for like a company, and you can set your own hours and live your own life. And I've honestly found happiness at my job, like being in a community and having that structure. So I just want to say, like, happiness looks different for every person. So don't let someone else define that for you.
Man, that's a good one, Whit. All right. Well, I would like to close this session out by saying I definitely appreciate you both spending time sharing what this process has kind of looked like for each one of you. Any closing thoughts that you'd want to share other than Whit's fabulous, don't let anybody define what happiness is?
Yeah, I think that. And I think also it kind of opposite of what I was saying earlier, but focus on yourself, because there is so much external stuff that goes on in the world that you can't control. Like, no one could control that there is a pandemic right now. I can't necessarily, I mean, I guess I could control being in a relationship if I would just, you know, pick the next person that came along. But like, I can't control finding a partner that I want to spend the rest of my life with. And that's, you know, like, things like that are hard to deal with, but you do need to, if you focus on yourself and your own mental state and your own well-being and happiness, you know, those things might still be hard, but you at least have yourself as kind of like your core thing that you can lean on and count on and be true to.
My last thing is that I think we've kind of made quarter life crisis trendy, not us. We don't make anything trendy here, but like the world has kind of used this. I think anyone can relate to these feelings. I think they can come at any point in your life. I felt them at 22. I'm feeling them at 26. God knows my mother's feeling them at 55 plus. And I think that it's just important to remember you are okay, despite whatever it feels right now. And I know I've been in the thick of it, that it doesn't feel okay. But like Emily said, find someone to talk about it with, to remind you you're not alone, that you're worthy of finding your purpose. And it comes with time. Grant yourself patience and grace to explore what that looks like for yourself, and don't rush that process.
Thank you, guys. Thank you both. So we're going to be back next week, but today we're going to tell you all to keep fighting in the open. So thanks. Bye, guys.